This Week in Radio Tech, episode 300, is brought to you by the Axia IQ and Radius AOIP audio consoles, now with LiveWire Plus. The IQ and Radius now have AES67 AOIP built in. By the Omnia 11, version 3.0, and optional GeForce. With GeForce, you hear the music, you hear the voice, you don't hear the processor. And by Lavo and the Crystal Clear Virtual Radio Console. Crystal Clear is the console with a multi-touch touchscreen interface. The annual NAB show attracts broadcasters from around the globe. We experience new technologies, shop for equipment, meet old friends, and make new acquaintances. It's the perfect setting for This Week in Radio Tech as well. Chris Tobin and I had a blast meeting some great engineers, company reps, and station owners on this episode of Torts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host, and I'm delighted to be here because we're at NAB. And that's where all the broadcasters are, the engineers, all the vendors who sell us this cool gear, and the inventors, the award winners. They're all right here. And it's been a great year for that. I've gotten to meet a bunch of these people. Chris Tobin and I have been trolling the halls. Maybe you've seen some of our reports on social media, Twitter, or on YouTube, or on Facebook. We've brought you a lot of stories that way. So we have a cast of, I don't know, a few dozen today. Anyway, we're going to bring you some really interesting people on our 300th episode of This Week in Radio Tech. And as usual, we're going to bring in the best dressed engineer in radio. It's Chris Tobin, and you are somewhere else. Where are you, Chris?
Bonjour. I am at the Digigram booth here in the North Hall. You may be familiar with their sound cards. Well, they're also introducing an audio over IP codec, and they're also introducing a video over IP codecs. So a friend of mine has asked me to help out and offer some interesting, ways to use their product in the North American market.
You know, the folks at Digigram have always been very innovative about their product line. I got a lot of respect for those guys.
Oh, I have to tell you, I have the pleasure of talking with one of their support managers, the technical support manager guys, and unbelievable. Some of the things they're working on and some of the methods they've used for their sound cards over the last 30 years, it was eye-opening. I really appreciate it. And I have to say, as a user of the cards for many years, I had one machine. We had cards in place for 10 years. Never failed. Machine failed. Card went from machine to machine. Card was fine. So it's just great. That's unbelievable. You're right. Something under the hood is really good.
They are built like American tanks.
With Abrams A1.
That's right. Hey, I want to mention, this is the first time that I've ever been on a professional headset, and I kind of like it. You know, usually we have some big honking fancy microphone in the studio, at my home studio, and I even brought it with me in case we had a failure here, a meltdown, but these are great. These are Shure brand headsets, and let me see the side. Let's see. It's a BRH440M. BRH440M from Shure, and the folks at Shure, through some arrangements with Broadcasters General Store, were kind enough to loan us four of these headsets. And these are great. I love these things. They're comfortable, and I sound good.
You feel like you're in the chopper over downtown L.A.
I feel like a sportscaster, and I'm the last guy. I know nothing about sports ball. You know, I hope the black belts, you know, get a score and whatever. So, hey, for our first ad, we're going to do real quickly here. You know, we have sponsors to help make all this possible. And one of our sponsors is Axia. Axia, you know, makes this great line of audio over IP gear. And they started out with this innovative LiveWire protocol from over a decade ago. And you know about this thing called AES67, a protocol that a number of the manufacturers have all agreed upon to implement so that gear from different brands, different manufacturers can talk to each other. And here with us on set is Miloš Nemčík. Miloš is an engineer and developer here at the Telus Alliance with Axia, and I guess product manager for the Axia line. And we've got a product that now has AES67 that didn't used to, right?
Well, two products, but...
Okay.
Well, at the show, we're announcing AES67 in our engine platform that's used in the Fusion console.
So this is the... is this the mix engine?
The mix engine.
Yeah.
It's also in the power station. The DSP code there supports AES67.
So, well, both of those have AES67 now or shipping soon?
Shipping soon.
Okay. All right. So that's the big consoles.
Yes.
Can get AES67. Any hardware changes to make that happen?
No.
You mean an owner of, could an Element do this, or is it a Fusion?
An Element could, yes.
Okay.
But it would be suggested that it would be a fanless engine over a fanned engine.
Yes, that's what I was assuming. Yeah, yeah. A newer mix engine,
yes,
or a power station,
yes,
can be upgraded to have AES 67. And that would be natively, no conversion through an X node.
Correct.
Native AES 67 in those consoles.
Correct.
And then there's, this is cool, another line of consoles also.
The IQ series, so anything that attaches to the core, that's the Core 16 or the Core 32, has supported AES 67 for a couple of months now, and I think that was released mid-2015.
It may be a little hard to see on camera, but in the next table over, we have a large IQ console, right?
Yes.
And it's connected to probably a Core 32.
Connected to a Core 32, and connected to the Core 32 are two Genelec speakers,
yeah,
which are AES 67 speakers.
Now, Axia doesn't own Genelec, all right? We just have a nice partnership with them through AES 67. And so these speakers have, what connections are on the back of the speakers?
There's a power and a network.
A network connection on the speaker.
Yes.
And it's nothing proprietary. It's standard AES 67.
It's AES 67.
Now, one quick question. We talked about this when I first saw it. How do you discover that? Because you can't really set an IP address on a speaker that I could see, but you could discover its presence anyway.
Yes, through Bonjour, you can pull up a web page of the Genelec speakers.
Do you then set the IP address, or does it just not need one?
You can. There's the option to set an IP address. I didn't.
Ah, okay.
I only needed to configure it once, and it's been good all the whole show.
That is amazing. That's amazing. I hear there's a Neumann microphone that has AES 67 as well.
I've heard a lot of rumors.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it myself. There's a lot of microphones, a lot of speakers, everything.
I got to tell you, I really appreciate, Milos, your work on the innovation with the Axia line and guiding that process. And I tell you what, when Milos gives his blessing to something, whatever it is, if he's giving me some advice on the phone or telling me or how to configure something, write a manual or display something, it's right. Milos gets it right every time he does it, and I really appreciate that.
I appreciate your kind comments.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Milos.
Thank you.
That's Axia, a sponsor of This Week in Radio Tech. All the consoles now. That would be anything running a Core 16 or 32 engine, so the IQ or the Radius console would have that. And also the larger consoles, the Fusion running the new mix engine that it has, or a power station. And you can upgrade your old equipment as long as it's not a fanned engine. That's too old to upgrade. But anything newer, you can upgrade to have AES 67 natively in the console. Thanks very much, Axia, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. All right, let's get right to our guest, Chris Tobin. We got a guest here, David Ramsey, and he's with he's a general manager of technology for Services Sound and Vision Corp. Is that right?
That's right. It's a charity who exists to provide welfare services to the British forces, and the main welfare service is the British Forces Broadcasting Service, and they exist to provide radio and TV services to the British forces overseas, similar to AFN, except that everyone who's employed by us is civilians. Even when the British military go into war zones, we follow them in to a certain extent to help provide them with vital welfare, the link to home, they keep morale up, keep the situational awareness. So we'd have 17 TV stations and 3 radio stations in various different flavors.
So let me make sure I have an idea here. So I've never been in the armed services myself. So you're providing, I mean, things like sports teams, that kind of brings you home. You know how your local sports team
is. I mean, the people who look after the welfare of the soldiers, the psychological health, say that being away from home in a very dangerous and difficult environment, not knowing how your team's getting on or what the weather's happening back home, or sometimes the seismic events happen, like the attacks in Paris or the earthquakes this week, if you're hearing little bits and you're not able to fully understand, it can be very disconcerting. It can really knock people out of their step. So having the ability to keep up with even your soaps, but the news and your sports events is vital to the well-being of the troops abroad. And that's why AFN do exactly similar to what we do.
Wow. So you have both radio and television
services.
That's
correct.
Are there some places where TV's just too hard to do and you get radio into that field?
It's probably the opposite in that we'll put radio stations almost anywhere, but there's some places that are too far forward, and we'll put what we call direct-to-home. We'll put satellite dishes in.
Oh.
Now, the guys can get TV and they can get radio on the satellite receivers, but they tend to stick to the TV if they've got pictures.
Yeah, sure.
But we've put radio stations into Iraq and Afghanistan, Kosovo, Bosnia.
So at any given time, how many might – I realize war situations change, but yeah. How many transmitters or stations or how many facilities might you have out there?
Just now we've got 20 radio stations across 13 countries, across five continents.
Now, are these typically in hot zones or just places where you might have a base?
No, the British military are – they've got big audiences in Germany, Cyprus, Gibraltar, the Falkland Islands. So they're obviously very benign and settled. And just now it's obviously round about the Gulf into Africa. I mean, the two most recent conflicts were into Iraq and Afghanistan, and the guys have nearly all returned from there.
Now, I got to tell you, we don't have a lot of time for every guest, but I want to take David to take a moment, if you would. You were telling me this story before the show, and this was sad, hilarious, amazing at the same time. Would you recount this for us?
Well, we always say to the military, if they can provide the transport for us and our equipment to put it where we need it, then we'll give them the services. And sometimes that just isn't possible. I had a phone call from one of our technicians who was at a forward operating base.
Forward operating? That means there's probably guns in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he said, Dave, you're not going to like this. And he was right, because I don't like being called Dave. And then he said, you're going to have to send us up another TV system, another 1.8-meter dish, 60-inch TV, and a set-top box. The military have destroyed it. I said, what have they done? They said, well, it fell out the back of a vehicle. They said, well, how can falling out the back of a vehicle destroy a satellite dish? He said, oh, the vehicle's quite high. Well, how high is a vehicle? And he said, well, they dropped it from 2,000 feet. It was being, they put all the equipment into the back of a vehicle, which has been underslung from a Chinook helicopter. And in flight, the amount of buffeting it gets, the back doors opened and all our equipment and some military equipment fell out, luckily over an uninhabited hillside in Afghanistan. But the military didn't know what had all gone out, and they thought they couldn't leave it there. There could be stuff that was security implications or helpful to insurgents.
Top secret, yeah.
So they did what any right-minded person would do in this situation, and they called in two fast jets.
Blew it up.
So two American jets came in and dropped a couple of 500-pound bombs on our satellite dish, our set-top box, and our 60-inch TV, and just vaporized them. So there was no engineering around that.
Did you send a replacement eventually?
We did, yes. But we certainly got a report for the insurance company. Apparently, we weren't covered.
Oh, my goodness. David, I would love to have you back on the show maybe for a whole hour sometime. You probably have not only more stories, but you know more motivational, informational things to tell us about your services.
Yeah, I'd love to come back on.
That would be great. Thank you for appearing here today.
Not at all.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. We have Paul Stewart from Enco Systems. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
So I've been, you know, every time I go to a show, and I saw Gene Novacek, I guess kind of the big boss around there.
That's right.
At CabSat in Dubai. And he was singing some praises of some technology that you guys are doing.
Absolutely. We have a number of new products that we're showing, and one of which is called MOM. You know, a lot of our existing clients, you know, remember, you know, their dad system. They're familiar with dad system.
Oh, of course. So now it makes sense. Yeah.
If you have a mom, you got to have, or if you have a dad, you got to have a mom.
That's right.
And so automation and playout systems. We're moving into sort of the video and television market.
Now, I got a question. Of course, there's television operations that are intended to be television operations. Mm-hmm. There's radio stations that are starting to play music videos instead of just the music.
That's right.
Is MOM appropriate for either situation, or was it designed for one or the other?
MOM was designed for television.
Okay.
However, we also have visual radio integration right now we're showing Vitigo from our booth. Mm-hmm. And what Vitigo allows you to do is, you know, just as you were saying, play those assets that are, you know, the music video, mm-hmm. You know, for whatever the FM station is playing. And now the goal of visual radio is for the radio side to lead and for the video to follow.
Right.
Whereas
okay.
obviously
okay.
in television it's, you know, the complete opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
okay.
So it's. Doesn't require dedicated personnel to be mixing, you know, on the visual side. You know, all the commands come from Enco Automation and allow you to run a show without the need for mixing and articulating cameras and all that sort of deal.
There's one more little piece of technology. I'm sorry we're so quick with everybody.
Sure.
One piece of technology that I wanted to hear about, and that is the virtualization of the automation system. So
yes.
The ENCO One.
Absolutely.
Briefly, what is it and what does this allow a broadcaster to do?
Better? Sure. So the ENCO One is a completely virtualized automation system, and it allows for the complete replacement of hardware workstations with one single hardware unit. And the advantage of that is that, especially with an AOIP network like an Axia console or another AOIP network, you can go from studio to studio and call up any profile you'd like to use.
Sure.
The same is true in a virtual system for the automation system. So you can say, I'm going to call up the on-air profile, even though I'm in what we usually use as a production studio. We call up that profile, we call up that session, and we can go live from any studio, conduct production work in any studio.
Now, for engineers like me who are not very familiar with virtualization, and it sounds a little scary,
sure.
I guess you guys have this figured out, mm-hmm. and your normal support will handle everything for somebody who
yes.
needs to make sure the virtualization works.
Absolutely.
Is there like a hypervisor involved? What system is it operating on?
It is Hyper-V, and
okay.
The thin clients are running a small little Linux operating system. Which
in the studio, you just have a small thin client.
A thin client.
Of course,
yep,
yeah.
Absolutely. So what's nice about that is, you drop it off the edge of the table like you almost did the camera there earlier, or spill water or coffee on it, and there's no interruption to your air signal. It's simply the control and video is lost for that session, but there's no interruptions, or very little downtime with a virtual system.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, that's at ENCO.com.
ENCO.com.
We'll get you there.
You can visit us. Visit us there or at booth N2518.
Yeah, you do. There's just up the street from Telos. You find Telos, you found them. You found us.
That's right.
Paul, thank you so much for that update on Dad, Mom, and
ENCO One.
ENCO One.
I've got a question about these. So
yes,
is the Dad and Mom system, does one have female connectors and the other male?
Oh, no. Did he go there?
Excellent
question. What time
question.
Did we lose control of the show?
When it began.
Hey, you're watching this. Yeah, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech, and Chris Tobin, I want to bring you in here for a sec to get your take on some of the things. And I don't know if you have a guest there or not, because I can't see where you are.
No guest at the moment. I'm just listening to you gentlemen speak. I'm at the Digigram booth in the North Hall, so those of you in the show watching this, come on by, N3535.
Yeah, you can come by and talk to Chris, because we're kind of full up here, but you could be Chris's guest over there
at
the Digigram. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just wanted, I know your other guest, David, not Dave, he left before I had a chance to say something, but I was, that his story of dropping a satellite dish from 2,000 feet reminds me of a story of another military stealth thing that was going on, but I guess we'll talk about that later. Monitor
that was
points,
literally
AM.
A war story.
That was a war story. Yeah.
I know that.
I'm sorry.
Right? So I'm a pseudo war story. Fine.
Hey, so
technicalities.
We've had a couple of gentlemen have just joined us here. We're going to talk with them in a few minutes. We have here Kenneth. Is it Forte? Forte. Oh, that means strength in
yes.
French, right?
Yes. Handsome.
Yeah.
Actually,
handsome. Oh, handsome. Oh,
yes.
Well, of course, I should have known. Hey, Kenneth, scoot your chair up a little bit so we can see you better. And Pierre Lone Wolf has joined us also. He's from Alaska. That's going to be a very interesting story. And right now, Fritz Goldman. Goldman is with us. Fritz, I interviewed you a couple days ago, and you're a funny and interesting guy and talented.
Thank you.
You're working with AccuWeather, right?
Well, my company does work with AccuWeather.
Okay.
We're
yeah.
sort of a subcontractor pass-through. We provide traffic reports using their product, but we're also independent from them. So we do it without them, and we do it with them.
So two quick parts to our conversation here. I want to hear about some technology that you're using, and I think it's some of ours, so that might be great. And then I think you want to tell something about the museum.
Yes,
that you're
yes,
with.
Exactly.
So let's hear about the technology first.
So one of the big things that we do, both at Radiate Media, which is the traffic services company, as well as at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, is we are big users of the Zip One. We've got them all over the country, in studios, in our operation centers, at our client radio stations, and at work-at-home reporters. So we can have a reporter sound just like they were, they're in their basement or their garage, and as long as it's a relatively nice, quiet area and has a relatively good sound qualities.
Yeah.
It sounds exactly the same as what they used to be when they were downtown in the office and the studio and have to drive down and complain about parking and everything else.
Wow. Okay. All right. So how do you we get setup questions, configuration questions about Zip Ones, and I was highly involved in that project for several years, so I got a lot of the questions indeed. How do you set these up with all these people in the field?
Well, usually we package it up in a little rack unit and just send it to their house.
Yeah.
Just put it in a box and send it to their house, and either I or one of my comrades will show up on site, plug it into their network router if they have something. Most of the time we'll actually provide a network connection so they don't even have to pay for it and expect any particular quality, that whether they're Comcast, AT&T, whoever. So we know we get a good quality.
But you are using a home-type internet service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And you or your technician knows if it's working right or not. Because a lot of people put up with maybe bad internet because they don't know how good it's supposed to be.
Well, I mean, we kind of get what we pay for.
Yeah,
I think we pay for the sort of, not quite, I would say, the business grade service, but the upgraded, rather than it's the $19.95 special, and we'll give you a $500 gift card and all this other stuff. We don't do that. We'll go for the I've got at home, like it's a 50 megabit down and 10 up service.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's pretty pretty beefy. We'll go a notch up, but we'll just package it up. Give them a little audio board. I was looking at your board, a Behringer. We haven't done that. We've used, I think, a Lesis.
Yeah, sure.
But it's very similar. And a computer. So they'll also have a workstation that they can look at their data from our operations center, traffic conditions are.
All right.
And then they'll have in that little rack, as I said, just literally like a 4U rack. So it's nothing significant. And a good microphone. So we've usually used either Electro Voice RE20s, or sometimes a station will say, our sound, we want a specific product because that's what we have installed. So they'll ship us their particular microphone that they're used to using.
Yeah.
And we put it on a mic stand or an arm and plug it in and give them a little training, because we'll pre-program the Zip with the front panel usually to have the places that they're talking to.
That was going to be my next question. Do they call a Network Central, or do they call directly to their clients for whom they're reporting traffic?
It's point-to-point to the station.
Okay.
So we don't go through any secondary, distribution point. So it's literally, from home to downtown, and downtown being that station. So that's how it works. And then we'll normally program in not only it depends upon who it is. If it's an employee of the station, naturally they're not going to be working for other stations. But if it's our employee, we may program in all of the radio stations we have in a particular market. So, hey, they need to fill in.
Oh, they need to sub for somebody else.
Yeah.
The station.
They just jump around and away they go, and they dialed up and they're done. And then they'll drop off and go to the next station.
Yeah.
So
that's – and you know what? I worked in Memphis at the time when one traffic guy was in an airplane. Or a helicopter, reporting for several stations. And you've known people who fly the plane at the same time they report.
I actually do, and that's, incredibly difficult. Being a pilot, I know what that's all about. And especially in Chicago, it's, next to an impossibility.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's
but that's what we do for Ed Radiate Media with the Zip One and with your fine products. But then there's the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Give me the elevator speech about the museum, and I've been there once. So
that's
I've
right.
Seen this
that's
thing.
Right. Because you did the show there, and I watched it online because I was out in some particular market.
I didn't have a nice setup. I couldn't use your board. It's complicated. I just had to take one mic between me and Bruce Dumont. Got real chummy, right? And we passed the mic back.
I think because that was literally the week they were commissioning the rest of the systems. The audio boards and everything. Yeah. So it's we don't even know how to plug it in at this point.
Right.
So it's we're unwrapping the bubble wrap and everything from them. But nevertheless, we have a full array of your products, and I was really interested to hear about the AES64 because, in addition to the radio component of the museum, which is what we're doing here, we also have a very sophisticated television production environment that is using a very high-end switcher that was donated, similar to Telos, from the company called NewTek in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And, that's my department. I get involved in that, and I direct the show weekly there, the radio/television show that Bruce Dumont does. And so we do that. Now, we've got, once again, Zip One. We have two Zephyrs, which are kind of on, I won't say they're on their last legs because they're brand new, but obviously the ISDN world At Radiate, we did a Zephyr install, and Verizon said that will be the last install they ever. This was like literally like 2 weeks ago.
This is the last install I'm going to do, and then I'm going to retire.
That's right. That's it. They're done. That's it. Never again. And then like, so I guess we can, you know, tear up the order forms, you know, put them in the, you know, file, never to be visited ever again. So at least on Verizon. So, nevertheless, at the museum, we've got some very interesting things happening. And in fact, actually, this coming Saturday, which will be, let's see, the 23rd, I think?
Something like that. Yeah.
We are doing a live event that we're going to be streaming through the museum website, which is museum.tv.
That's easy. Museum.tv.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that is, it's a local ABC television kind of homecoming and gathering of personalities and on-air people. And actually, I guess some people from behind the scenes that have been working for the station for many years, and kind of in honor of one particular person. So I don't call it a roast; it's a midday thing, but it's using, you know, the everything we've got in the radio studio, and of course the television side as well. So it's pretty cool what we're doing.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I'm sorry to look away.
No.
We got to, like everybody, we got to pay for our show. And as soon as basically we're done, Fritz, I appreciate so much you coming
Absolutely,
on. Absolutely. I love hearing about the Zips, of course. I was highly involved with that project. And then hearing about the museum. I've been there, by the way. If you're a radio station and you are in Chicago,
yep.
Just make a little arrangement in advance, and you can use their studio.
Definitely. Or if you're not a radio station, you just want to see about the history of radio and television.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Just come by. It's right next to the House of Blues. It's 360 North State Street, museum.tv, open, Tuesday through Saturday. It's kind of a weird hours. But,
Well, a lot of museums are like that. And if you're hungry, great food all around the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. In fact, actually, the first floor is a steakhouse, STK Steakhouse, that opened last fall. It's supposedly very high-end, hip.
Seems like I ate at a Harry Carey's.
That's directly next door on the other side. Yep. Right. And the House of Blues, as I said, is right there, too.
Hey, I want to ask Corny Gould to come right around. And Fritz, when you slip your headphones off, Corny's going to...
Thanks, Kirk.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate you. Well, we have to pay for the show from time to time. And I know that Corny has been literally four or five people deep. So I want to take his time for just a minute to get the commercial done. Let him tell you about the cool things that are in the new Omnia 11, which might as well have been the Omnia 12. And hey, Corny, how are you, man?
All right, how you doing?
It's good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
So we've done a couple little short videos. And hey, are you guys okay on time? Can you stick with us a few more minutes? Okay. Because we're going to get Corny to do this. So, Corny, let me turn the other guys' mics down so they can there we go.
Okay.
And in case they have to say something. And so tell us, the Omnia 11, this has been a huge hit. People are looking at this, and I know they're four or five deep waiting to talk to you.
Yes,
so,
and listen.
Yeah, what's the deal with the Omnia 11?
It's an entirely different, entirely new rewrite of all of the dynamic sections in the Omnia 11, and it gives you capabilities that people have been dreaming of. A lot of these capabilities are coming about after my travels around talking to various program directors and, you know, seeing various issues they're having to deal with. And one of the current issues right now with the way music production has changed since the Omnia 11 algorithms were developed, and I developed those 8 years ago, really. The Omnia 11 itself is not really that old, but the work that turned into Omnia 11 started 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And so a lot changed musically in those 8 years, and specifically more recently, where a lot of the hit space formats or anything playing current pop music has this EDM-style low bass going on that people were troubling
with. What does that mean, EDM?
I forgot. I looked it up because I hear people throwing that around in the stations.
Is it bass that breaks your speakers?
I think it's something like electronic dance music or something, right. Something like that. I don't know.
It's what the young kids are doing nowadays.
Yeah, kids, when they get on the Twitter and the Facebook. But
so you're handling that kind of energy down really deep.
Yeah, it flows through on the new release. It just comes through.
Okay, so it doesn't break anything else. That's really the part that draws open.
And you hear it come through and the voices stay clean, unlike, you know, the current releases where it does a pretty good job, but you can hear the limitations in the algorithm appearing in these songs. That bass comes through strong. And I can be ridiculous. There's on their quick setup page, which is way more powerful now than the old one, there's a bass control. For people who said, I just want more bass.
yeah.
So you just turn the bass up. And people hear the bass increase, but the voices stay clean, like on the that Lean On song.
Now, give me the elevator talk here. What is the new Omnia? What's 3.0 and what's G-Force?
Okay. There will be a 3.0 release, which is going to be what I'm going to refer to as the Orange Face Omni 11. It's going to be the update for that version of the Omni 11, which will give you RDS capabilities.
Oh, built-in RDS. Okay.
Yes, built-in RDS. Yeah. And also compatibility with dynamic radio text messaging for now playing.
Okay. All right.
And then the other thing, I give you a few more controls than the old algorithm to help tailor the bass some more.
Okay.
And the first step in the insert point for the Voltaire insert point.
That's in 3.0.
And,
all right.
Yes. And that's what that was first step into what I talked about last year.
Is 3.0 a paid upgrade or a free upgrade?
The Orange Face 3.0 is free.
Okay.
It's part of the normal.
So if you already own an 11, you can get the 3.0.
Right.
All right.
And then the G-Force. More loudness than allowed by law.
That's right.
But G-Force update is a paid update. And what that does, it essentially guts all the old algorithms, replaces them with brand new algorithms that have more capabilities.
So it's
more
like the intelligent Omnia, control. It's like the Omnia 12.
Yeah,
if you
really
already have
is.
An 11, you can buy one.
And the difference is for you can get that, and it also has Hans's perfect declipper.
Oh, it's got the declipper built in.
Yes. So so basically, to get the new G-Force update and the Hans's perfect declipper, you're talking less than $1,500 for a brand new audio processor that runs on the existing Omni 11 hardware platform that we told people way back when that you can do big updates for.
By the way, if you ever see an Omni 11 on eBay, the price of them just went up.
Yes. Yes, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
So with that, you get perfect declipper and the new dynamics, and it's definitely way cheaper than spending another $10,000 for another.
And we don't have time for it today, but I'd like to come on for a whole show sometime later this summer.
I'm very excited to talk. There's a lot going on in this thing, and it's giving the demos. It's been hit after hit after hit. Switch to switch, jaws drop.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
get exhausted from being amazed, so it's pretty cool.
get exhausted from being amazed.
Oh, this is very nice. Oh, and I'm not done yet. There's more. So.
And I heard that you threw out a slogan recently, hear the music, not the processor.
Yeah, when I was designing this version, my goal, I have the mantra in my head this whole time was hear the music, not the processor.
Yeah.
So people are amazed. Like, you can see the limiters really grabbing peaks and doing things, and you don't hear them moving around a lot, which anybody who's ever used an 11, they're just kind of like, wow, what's going on? Are those meters really working right? I said, yes, they are.
Wow.
And you can drive the limiters all the way up and drive them into 20 dB, and all you hear is a density change.
Do you have this G4? Will this run on 12 volts for my car?
If you actually, what you need to do that is you need to talk to Mr. Fody and his cat, and hook it up to the steam engine and let the steam out.
I knew there'd be a steam engine and a cat involved somewhere. Corny, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you so much. We'll have you back on some other time. Okay?
No,
thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Also with us here, This Week in Radio Tech, we're at episode 300. Chris Tobin, real quick check-in for you. How's everything over there at Digigram?
Things are going well at Digigram. Matter of fact, Fritz Goldman says hi. He's just stopped by to check on some video product here at the Digigram booth at N3535. Why not? We'll plug it.
Good.
So he's come by to check out some videos. And I guess Corny's all about the bass. Is that the part? Is that the new slug line?
It's all about that bass. Yes, he is. Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry, all right. I just had to throw it in there.
Chris, I feel so fortunate. I am backed up with guests here. So if you don't mind, we're just going to plow on to the next one, okay?
Continue on.
Good for you, Chris. Okay. All right. Hey, so we got two gentlemen here waiting just as long as each other. Can I hit Kenneth first? Would that be all right?
Go ahead.
He's first in the alphabet, so let's go with that. Kenneth, how are you? Kenneth Forte.
Good.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you again, Kirk.
Now, you're not an engineer, are you?
No, and I don't play one on the radio.
But you have some radio stations not too far from me.
Yes, we have an AM and FM in Dixon, Tennessee, right, which, is, of course, is a bedroom community of Nashville.
Yeah.
So we're about 40 miles going west, depending on how fast you drive.
Okay. All right.
But we
I think my wife can get there in 32 minutes. I think so.
I've probably done 30.
But
we won't say anything about that. Your wife probably knows what the station is.
So tell me, being a station owner here, and we don't usually get station owners on the show. We've had a couple. I guess I am myself, so I play both roles. So what, as a station owner, what do you look for here at NAB? What catches your eye?
Well, first of all, I look for those products that we already have to see if there's any upgrades on those products. And then, like, we have used the Telo system, and so we've been Really pleased with that. Then I look for those, what my engineer texts me and tells me to go look for. That's what I go look for. I've been looking for some antennas because we're going to be adding some things to our station. So those are the kinds of things that we're doing. Just really just information gathering. And then I'll go back and I'll sit with our engineer and we'll kind of make some decisions. Okay, which way, which direction we're going to go. With regards to equipment that we're going to purchase.
You know, we always used to hear of station owners actually going shopping at NAB, and maybe even I used to work for a couple of owners that would say, I can get it cheaper off the NAB floor if I just bring them a check. Well, remember the guy you met yesterday, Larry?
Yeah.
My business partner?
Yes.
Well, Larry went over to an antenna manufacturer, and he bought a combiner. Now, it went out on the floor. He had to have it. He's ordered a combiner, and he gave him a check. And The guy said, I've never actually had somebody give me a check before. They talk about that, but he actually gave me a check.
Well, that was not my plan. I just want to see.
Basically,
for me, even as a station owner, as I said, I'm not an engineer. I don't play one on the radio, but I feel like an engineer because if something happens, I've got to go and make whatever adjustments the engineer tells me. So it helps me to see the product before we install it.
Yeah.
Because once he installs, he doesn't walk me through anything. He just installs it. Mm-hmm. Then he says, oh, if something happens, then I have to go back to try to make some adjustments. So it's good, number one, to see the product, but also meet the people that make the product and sell the product.
And the people you're going to be talking to on the phone with support,
yes.
It's good to, you know, people just seem better with you when you know who they are.
They really do, and we're also looking at, you know, some traffic systems that we want to implement. So had a chance to, you know, look at that those kinds of things. But, you know, we use the Telos system, and, you know, and I was telling you yesterday, one of the great things about Telos is that the customer service and the tech support was phenomenal because when you're broadcasting local sports, you don't need your Telos to go out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And ours did.
Oh,
2 days before.
No.
It was. I think it was 2 days before the big game. Only just the playoff game. No, who cares? It's just a playoff game.
You probably had sold some spots.
We've sold a few spots, and Grandmama was listening. The folks really responded well.
Yeah.
And got us what we needed, and we were able to broadcast again.
Very nice. Very nice. I hear good things, too, about Telesupport. I don't know if I'm treated better because I work for the company, but I get pretty good support. So.
Look, I got great support.
Yeah.
Because when I started crying,
they really
responded. It's like there's a grown guy on the other end of the phone crying. They really were. And, you know, they tried to actually walk me through, which was really funny, you know, checking everything and fixing it.
Yeah.
But once I knew it was broken.
Yeah. Once you saw it, they sent you something.
They responded well.
Kenneth, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I sure appreciate you coming by, and I got to come by and see you in Dixon.
Please do.
All right. You
have an open invitation.
Well, you probably have a good restaurant picked out, don't you?
There are several good restaurants.
And I've got Frank Foti's credit card, so we can go someplace nice.
We're going to the nice restaurants.
That's right. Okay. All right.
Thanks, Kirk.
Take care, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye. Hey, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech, episode 300 with Kirk Harnack. And Chris Tobin, you feel free to break in any time. But right now, I want to talk to Pierre Lone Wolf. Hi, Pierre. Welcome on the show.
Hello. How are you?
I've been talking to you, I don't know, from one broadcast forum online to another, and I thought, this guy is in Alaska. And I never could figure out how to say the name of the town you were in.
Kotzebue. Or Kikitogzuk, which is
an
Inupiaq name for the place.
Wow.
Kotzebue is named after a German guy employed by the Russians to find Russian America. So that was how it got this name.
So tell our audience a little bit about your radio stations and the engineering you do there.
Okay, we have a public radio station that serves northwest Alaska. We have a 10,000-watt AM transmitter that covers our area. And we also have an FM that covers locally Kotzebue. Then we have translators in each of our villages that we ship the signal through AT&T Alaskom with dedicated circuits for three of them that are farther out, and the rest are fed by the free-range internet with barracks boxes on the ends and some IRM 610s from Minivonix.
Wow.
So that's it. That way we have a coverage. And the reason why we went to the translators is that the electrical noise floor in the villages, since electrification has gone up, and it's made it a little more difficult to get the AM signal.
Oh, okay. So AM is a bit more difficult to pick up in the outer range.
Yes.
Yeah. So the FM translators are doing better for you.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
When we were talking earlier, you did mention on your AM transmitter, what's that called, that automatic carrier thing?
Modulation-dependent carrier level.
Yes, that's right. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, we use that.
That saves you money, doesn't it?
About 25%.
On their power bill.
Yes, on the power bill, okay. Yes. So the better modulation you have, the more money you save, basically, it comes down to.
Now,
I'm waiting for Omnia MDLC setting, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. So, okay, so you're here at the show. It's a big trip for you, a long ways to come.
Yes.
And you were here at the public radio conference.
Yes, the Association of Public Radio Engineers.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what? When you come to NAB, travel a long way. How do you make the trip effective? What are you looking for? What information do you need to take back home with you?
Basically, we're always looking for ways to reduce our energy costs, and we pretty much did that. And the other way is to find equipment that reduces our personnel costs and allows us to do better editing and deliver a better product to our end user.
Yeah, yeah.
And that can take the form of a new phone system. You know, editing software, sound cards, consoles. It depends on where we're at and what our goal is for that certain project.
Gotcha. So what's a – can you give me a lay of the land? What do you have now, like, for a console? Are you manned 24 hours? Do you have automation a good part of the time?
We're manned 18 hours a day.
Wow.
So okay. We automate overnight from midnight to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And we have the other guy's console.
Okay, well, all right.
Okay, Wheatstone. We had Wheatstone consoles that we bought a long time ago. And so we use those, and our automation system is Broadcast Software International. We've been then with like 12 years.
Wow, yeah.
What's in our rack? We have the Omnia processors for our AM and FM. Mm-hmm. So we have those. And we've got our web stream and our translator feeds. Then we have incoming lines for basketball and all that.
So on your web stream, I kind of got the impression that not everybody in your area has internet. How many listeners do you get? And do you get listeners outside the listening area?
One of the reasons we started that web stream 12 years ago was that people who had moved away that were from the area wanted to listen to the radio station. And the Nana Regional Corporation started it, funded it.
Did it.
And so that's how that got started. And it's very popular. You know, people send us messages. We read messages over the air person to person. And emergency information, yes.
Okay.
And search and rescue stuff. So, you know, we're highly involved in our public's lives. And in the old days when I first moved there, and even earlier than that, there was no phone service.
Oh.
There was people use CBs.
Yeah.
To talk to each other.
Sure.
And, you know, and it evolved. You know, now, of course, we have a certain level of cell service. And we do have internet in the villages, but it is slow, really slow.
Okay.
And next year, supposedly, we're going to get a fiber link at the Gatsby.
Pretty important that your equipment is reliable, I suppose,
yes.
Because
yes.
FedEx may be a little expensive getting up there.
Oh, it's days. I wouldn't mind the expense if you could get it within two or three days.
Wow.
You know, generally, sometimes it'll take a week,
even
when it gets to Anchorage and sits there until somebody trips over it.
So do you expect, in a lot of the rest of the world, they expect streaming to really keep on moving up and over the air to be important for mobile, but, you know, as more dashboards get connected, we're kind of wondering what role do transmitters have in 30 years from now? What do you see for your town?
Unless something radically changes, I still think AM and FM are going to be a large part of our listeners' lives. Now, that will change with the younger generation, and as more services come, you know, we'll have to compete with their iPod. You know, their web streaming devices, TV, and all the other things. But generally, if you're out in the country, we're the only thing that can serve you.
Cool. You know. Pierre, it's great to see you in person.
Thank
you so much. Hope to see you again soon.
We'll be around.
All right. Thanks so much. You're watching This Week in Radio Tech. Chris Tobin, are you standing by? Are you there, sir?
I'm standing by. Just checking out some stuff and enjoying the view. And it's a great guest lineup you've got coming. I like it.
I know. What is amazing to me is, you know, I asked these people to come by, and they did. Isn't that amazing? And well, I don't owe any of them money that I know of.
Well, that's good, because it'd be a visual recording of them attacking you and trying to settle the score.
Yeah, yeah. So if you got any news there, or should I just move on to the next guest?
Oh, the only news here is that, at least in the Digigram booth, is some interesting video but that's about it at the moment. I won't get too crazy. But oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. There is an audio over IP that's now Ravenna, Dante, AES-67, Livewire compatible. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's made by the Swiss Army people, right?
Swiss Army, yes, it is a Swiss Army codec. I will say there's a lot going on in this box. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
All right, get to the next guest. Well, let's go. Let's see what we got.
All right. Well, Scott Spillers came by. Scott is from Perryville. Hey, Scott, welcome in.
Nice to see you, Kirk.
Let me make sure your mic is – yeah, I guess it's turned up.
And get that, I'm here.
Yeah, make sure that mic is close.
Absolutely.
Close talk that, baby. All right. By the way, to our audience – glad you're here. You're watching This Week in Radio Tech, episode 300. We are live at the NAB 2016, and it's not even the last day of the show. By the way, we appreciate you joining us on this day that's not our usual broadcast day. Chris Tobin had to leave tomorrow, so we said, hey, let's see if we can do this show on Wednesday when everybody's here, and everybody's here. So, Scott, you are at Perryville.
Perryville Systems.
You do work for them. See if that mic will go any closer.
Yes, sir.
I think it likes to be close talked.
Please see if we get it to stay.
And so Perryville has long been a partner with Axia on this Livewire thing. Yeah?
We have. We have a number of products that are Livewire enabled. Rivendell Radio Automation is probably the one we're best known for.
Yeah.
As well as iRoute, which is a Livewire XY router with monitoring capability.
Yeah.
And the product we unveiled this year, little Raspberry Pi.
What?
Wall time.
What? What is this?
That gives you an NTP clock, analog clock, digital clock. It gives you an on-air light that is activated off GPIO from your Livewire console, your Axia.
Oh, that is so cool. And you know, one of the things, when you put a Livewire Axia system in, probably almost any AOIP system, but you certainly put a Livewire system in, you want to keep that system separate from your business network.
Absolutely.
It's easier. Otherwise, all your business stuff has to kind of be upgraded too. So I keep my Axia system separate from the business network, but then getting a source of NTP becomes a little bit of a problem. And I've got a couple old favorite software programs I like to run, but neither one is perfect. And this is fantastic. Now, how does this get its time?
Well, it's looking for an NTP server.
Oh, it's going to look for NTP.
Just like your console would be. So whatever your source is, whether it's a Windows PC running one of those applications, D4, what have you.
Yeah.
Or if you have a switch or router that supplies NTP, there's a variety of ways of bringing it in. You could use a GPS system, whatever you have. Most stations would have something in-house providing NTP locally, or perhaps a gateway out that's well firewalled off to get to a public NTP server.
Now, you said this can provide a digital or analog clock. You mean out the HDMI for
correct
display?
It drives any. You provide the monitor, any size you like, as big a clock as you want to put on the wall.
You know, they have that huge 8K display that's, I don't know, how big is that?
I would love to connect that to the back of it. Absolutely.
That is awesome.
Yeah, neat little thing. They'll give you an analog clock, a digital clock, on-air light, notifications if you want to put your silent sense alerts up on the screen, either in a portion of the screen or full screen. Does all kinds of good stuff for you all in one little box.
Yeah, so we've long had a relationship about the Axia IP audio driver.
Sure.
And you provide this for Linux. I guess different flavors of Linux. I heard that you guys work with, if a manufacturer has a Linux-based product.
Correct.
And they want to put Axia, Livewire in it, our company sends them to you. For that help get that integrated.
Indeed, we've compiled that Livewire driver for a number of different distributions. We use CentOS for our Rivendell distributions,
right. But
also works with Ubuntu and a variety of other flavors of Linux.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I've got some Rivendell systems at my radio stations. We're deploying more of them, and we exclusively use the IP audio driver, mm-hmm. talks to the Axia network, and it just sits there and runs and works. And if something goes wrong, we know it's not that. It's something else. Yeah. Like, usually it's a problem between here and there.
More often than not.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. So so the iRoute, the wall time, and
Rivendell Radio Automation.
Right. And now, you know what? I was talking to a gentleman who said, I installed Rivendell years ago and I couldn't get it to work. Well, dude, download the appliance.
Exactly. It'll should work just out of the box. We've taken care of all the setup. It's just going to be configured the right way, and we know all the parts are there and in place and ready to go.
Well, one thing I'd like to request, and maybe you already have answers for this question, I don't know, but I was talking to another engineer about more of these little, like the NUC computer or other small fanless, even with i7s in them. And you could, with the eSATA for some external storage, if you need the external storage, I'd love to see about getting Rivendell running on those. And maybe you already have, but that'd be very cool.
It can be made to work with a thin client.
Yeah.
To where you can put all of your audio ins and outs at the server level, to where all you're doing is providing a display and user interface at the studio side. So we've been doing that. We've deployed that at a number of sites.
And for us with the Axia driver, it can still come out of that small box.
Absolutely.
We just have to have the music on the server somewhere else. That way, that reduces KVM costs, right?
Absolutely.
Because you can put this little box in the same room as your display. There's a lot of possibilities. So.
Absolutely.
Good deal. Scott, thank you for stopping
by. Thanks for
having
me, Kirk. Appreciate it.
I sure appreciate it. All right. Thank you. Hey, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech. It is episode number 300. We're live at NAB 2016. I'm Kirk Harnack. Hey, Chris Tobin, are you there, my friend?
I am here, yes.
Hey, coming up next, I've got Bob Holowenko, but I wonder if you could kind of give us an update on things over. You're in the France Pavilion? Is that it?
French Pavilion in the North Hall, yes. N3535.
Yeah.
There are three other French companies here. Netia is the other one. Newsroom Automation Systems.
I've totally neglected to do. And before we get to Bob Holowenko here, dear friend of our podcast, he's this great guy. I wonder if, Chris, your opinion is very valuable, too. You went to the PREC conference, and you've been looking all around the show. What have you seen that you got to know more about?
Well, one of the things I came across was a company called Freaxez. I think that's how they say it, FreeAxez. And it's a raised floor principle. I know, when I just said raised floor, you're thinking several inches, feet. No, it's actually about, I think it was 2 inches tall. And you actually, these metal structures, it's simple little tiles. And you create chaseways between them, and that's how you do the wiring. And the folks told me that Fox News, somebody built a small studio with that. Didn't have to use a raised floor, create all kinds of havoc, and it was the wildest looking thing I ever saw, and it made total sense, and economically it was actually good. It's freeaxez.com. They're at the booth N615, North Hall 615, if anyone's watching and has an opportunity to run over. If you don't, check out the website. Really worthwhile if you're doing a small studio setup or a change of things. Something else I came across was ESC's got a new GPS standard clock design, so now we're all doing IP and ISDNs going away, and we've got AOIP throughout the plant or video, and maybe you need a 10 megahertz reference or one part per second reference. ESC has a nice little package and very well priced, so something to consider. And then for microphones, Audio Technica's got a cool dynamic large diaphragm mic. So it's like, you know, all of a sudden now people are getting back into large diaphragms for the real sound that you like to get out of it. That's the, what is it called? The BP40. Audio Technica's BP40.
And BP40, okay.
Yeah, and one other one, and two things coming out of the Comrex booth. Comrex has a new, what do they call it again? Let's see. It's their VH2. VH2, two-line digital hybrid, and it's pretty cool. I was checking it out. You know, it makes it really easy to do stuff, the front panels. And I have to add this one part, and I told this to Tom Hartnett. And the folks at Comrex are really good about industrial design. And it's amazing over the years, and there's been many of them, they come up with products that look great, function great, you know, form and function work together. And somehow Tom, along with Chris Specht, put together the idea of building plastic devices, injection molding. He squeezes in the electronics, and we get products that you're all aware of. You want to see it in full form, check out the Live Shot, their video product. That box is so dense. You could probably use it as a weapon if you had to. I don't think you can break it. It's wild. So that's what the engineering side just was like. It was really cool. So check it out. The Live Shot. Yeah. And the VH2.
Now, you didn't mention anything about drones. So, you know, I'm going to have to make sure you got your man card going on there.
Drones, please. I went through one of the halls. And all you hear is whoosh, and it's like, and there's one booth that has this fishnet, and the drones are like being bounced against the fishnet. I'm thinking, great, I could just see this now.
Yeah.
Whee, out it goes and into the crowd, and there's another story for everybody to enjoy. But it's been great.
Chris, thanks for the update. We're going to be back to you in just a minute for an ad,
sure.
So hang tight with that. It's episode 300 of This Week in Radio Tech, and look who's here, Bob Holowenko and Joe Talbot. Have you two ever met?
We did during a
Okay, great.
Yeah.
because I respect both of you so much. Bob is in the IT. I mean, deep. He totally gets it.
He seems okay.
And he's into crazy RF stuff, too.
Oh, so, excellent.
Yeah. Good guy. So you guys need to talk at some point. Hey, Joe, I just wanted to get you on for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Tell us what's new. Can you say something about a VX something or other?
Oh, are you talking about the Prime?
Yeah. Can you give us, I mean, seriously, the elevator talk. I know you got to go.
Well, sure.
A lot of folks, we introduced VX, multi-studio phone system, some years ago here at Telos. And it's a little pricey. If you have a big facility, it's perfect.
It's a deal because you basically do the phones for the whole place.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you have a smaller facility, it looked a little pricey. And what have we done to help fix that?
We've got one now that's small for the small guys, or not as small as guys, for the for clusters that have a couple of stations, maybe a production room, a newsroom, something. So basically, this box will do eight hybrids worth. Unlimited number of lines, the same VX features that you probably heard about. Programs the same way. If you can do a VX, you can do the Prime.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
So, and it's a deal.
So it's a great for maybe just an AM/FM station.
Perfect.
This is perfect for them. Maybe if you got three stations, three studios, it's ideal for that too.
Right.
You could use it up to what, three, four, five studios maybe.
It depends how many faders you put in.
How many faders?
You could actually do it up to eight if you only put one fader in each studio.
Yeah.
But sure.
Okay. Well, we're going to interview you tomorrow about that. We'll have that on Facebook and
deal.
Make it available on yeah. Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right. We'll get some in-depth on that tomorrow.
Real good.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kirk.
Okay. Bye. All right, Bob Holowenko. Hey, Bob, how are you, man?
I'm well. Congratulations on 300.
Yes, isn't that cool?
Number,
who knew we'd do 300 of these? And as soon as I get a paycheck, I'll get really excited about it, too. So, Bob, you're from Canada? You're living up
there? Way north.
Vancouver area, or where is it?
A little bit north of Vancouver now, but spent the last while in Vancouver.
So you've been on the show before helping us understand some IT principles, especially MPLS.
Yep.
You helped, you could dial back and look at the show about MPLS. So what is kind of on your horizon now, either in the IT world or on the broadcast side? What's interesting you right now?
Well, I'm a big networking guy. That's what interests me, that and broadcasting. So seeing all the integration and the number of devices now for both radio, television, content creators that supports the AES 67 standard. The number of booths that have and of course I'm forgetting the four-letter acronym now, but for the media group that ratified it.
There's a couple of groups, maybe with different
Media
names,
Network Alliance.
Media Network Alliance, but there's another one as well. I don't know how different they are. I wish I knew. We should get Marty on here to tell us about that. So go ahead, Bob.
But yeah, seeing all that, I found quite interesting. You look at companies like NewTek, the people that make the video switcher.
Oh, yeah.
They've been
yeah.
known for being disruptive in a good way.
Yeah.
So they've come out with a video over IP, but it's, of course, audio-video packaged together. But even that device speaks AES 67 or Dante and a lot of the other codecs.
Yeah.
So now there's the option that if you're a radio station that is potentially clustered with a television studio, you might have engineers that are cross-platform that would be familiar with somebody like an Axia, and now they might be able to use inputs and outputs for maybe telephone systems or something like not to keep flying your guys' flag, but the telephone systems, if it's able to speak 67, you might start seeing smaller television boards start using the AES 67 protocol and then using a physical to fly your guys' flag Axia console or another AES 67, or you might start seeing, and we are seeing more devices now that are supporting it. I stumbled across a booth that had CD decks. I didn't think anybody still
Whoa!
Made those.
Wow!
Yeah,
okay.
And
all right.
right on it, it was IP audio capable. And of course, I had to ask, okay, what standard? And the guy said, well, it's Dante and AES 67.
Wow!
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that when I talked to you yesterday. All the booths that are touting, we have AES 67. It's kind of like, hey, you got to be a member of the club if you want to hook this stuff together.
You look at protocols like Dante, and there's a few more that are older, but they're vendor specific, and so everything's licensing this, licensing that. To see something now where you can have more players in the game, where it might be a little harder to sell additional analog nodes or blades or whatever your existing infrastructure is, but at least now you can get you'll probably be selling bigger consoles is probably the payoff here.
Because you'll have more
inputs that people will want to control. One thing that surprised me a bit, not as much talk about AES 70, but you know, I'm sure that in due time.
And that's the protocol that goes along with 67 for control, GPIO, querying. It's kind of like a professional SNMP for audio type gear.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay. Hey, if you'll hang with us, we got one more commercial to do, and I'd like to get a tip of the week out of you.
All right.
You know so much about networking. It's just great. You know, like a famous, and we'll talk about it during the commercial. Chris Tobin is here, and he has some information about our sponsor, Lavo, and their crystal clear console. Chris, take it away.
Give it to you in a moment. I think the other operation you're talking about for Ravenna, ALC Networks, was that what you're looking at? Kirk, you were talking about?
Yeah. There's a four-letter acronym that's also manufacturer alliance for networking. So
the only one I know that has the word alliance in is Media Networking Alliance. That's it. That's all.
And the Telos Alliance.
Yes, and the TA.
All right,
we have Lavo consoles. Anybody familiar with Lavo consoles? Oh, good. I see a raise of hands. Excellent. Well, we have the crystal clear console. Now, let's think about this. Crystal clear, and you say to yourself, crystal clear. Well, it could be China. No, it could be drinking vessels. No, it's actually a multi-touch screen that you use in your studio, or maybe OB van, or maybe anywhere you like. Maybe it's your home studio. Crystal clear console concept is basically taking a whole new approach, and that is because it's three stereo buses, program one, program two, and a record bus, or if you want, you could put a P-touch on it, make it program three. That's how some people can be. Talk buttons. You have talkback buttons that appear on all mix minuses automatically, so it makes it convenient. Again, it's the ease of use, and it's a multi-touch screen. So why am I saying that? Oh, by the way, you can do eight sources at once. You can touch the screen. So if you could use all your eight fingers and the other two just lift there for keep the pinky up high like you're drinking something special like an espresso. It's a great console. Now, at PREC, at the Public Radio Engineering Conference, Catfish, or Mike Dosh, by some of you know him as, talked about it. It was a lunch sponsorship, and he talked about the crystal clear and the virtualization that Kirk talked about earlier, virtualization systems, and now you could put crystal clear in that. So now you've got a facility that's totally in the IP domain. And you say, well, it's a computer-based system. Don't panic. You can use the latest CPU power. Think of it this way. Years ago, maybe five, you had the Pentium chips, you had the dual core, quad core. Now you've got the i5, i7 series. The early CPUs, maybe if you're lucky, you got maybe 10% use out of it. The other 90% was driving the encoding for audio for your project. Today it's flipped. Now 5% of the CPU processing is used for the crystal clear, and the remaining, do whatever you want. Virtualization is ideal for this. It's the best way to go. Well, I'll give you some more features it has. You know, you have 24 sources. As I said, 8 can be automatic. It can be used simultaneously. Again, you got to use your fingers and be real good at it. It's AES, EBU inputs and outputs. Why do I say this? Because nowadays, it's all about the digital. You might have a few analog needs. You can support it on this console, too. And it's also, as we spoke just a moment ago, you heard, AES Ravenna compatible. So that's very important to know, because now a lot of products in your studio already are talking audio over IP and need to communicate or be interoperable. So if you're a Lavo user, you're familiar with Ravenna. Maybe you're not, and you know AES 67 is still in the game. So it's very important to understand these things. And also nowadays, a lot of facilities that I've visited are LEED certified here in the States. LEED certification is about energy efficient facilities, whether it be a building you're in, a complex, and sometimes you have to be concerned about power consumption. So the good thing about the Crystal Clear console project, or I should say equipment, 56 watts draw, so it's very small. So it doesn't use a brute force power supply of the days of old. It's designed in such a manner that you can dictate how you want to use it, because it's an application running on a surface of your choice. You know, that's the way to look at things today. So as we mentioned earlier in the netcast and talking about infrastructure and systems and all these various ways of doing radio and now integrating television if you want, the Crystal Clear console gives you the opportunity to think beyond the box. You know, the proverbial thing out of the box. It is unbelievable. In Catfish's presentation at the PREC, for those of you who are public radio broadcasters, remember seeing and hearing, he had a few pointers I'm not going to bring up. You'll have to contact Catfish and tell him, look, you heard it on Twit, and I need to know what's going on because I want to know more about Crystal Clear. It's a really revolutionary, evolutionary approach to doing studio operations. and you can take it on the road. There's a few other things I got to do. And remember, ask them about the radio in a bag. That's all I'm going to say. Just ask them about the radio in a bag. It's all part of the concept of Crystal Clear. So multi-touch, yeah, multi-touch like your smartphone. 8 fingers at once if you're that crazy. If not, you could do one at a time. But it still gives your form and function, as I mentioned earlier, with another manufacturer. It's a real cool way to do things. So Lavo, lavo.com, L-A-W-O.com. Yes, it's Lavo Crystal Clear Consoles. That's all you need to know. Go to the website, check it out, watch the video with Catfish, then call them. And make sure you tell them that you need to know more about the PREC presentation. And then you'll understand really what it's all about and why Lavo Crystal Clear is the way to go. That's it for this week in Radio Tech on the sponsorship of Lavo. I'll throw it to Kirk and episode 300. Boy, things get crazy at this point.
Thanks, Chris. And we've got a tip coming up from Bob. And I've got a little tip myself. And it may seem obvious, but it's been helpful to me. So, Bob, you are a fantastic networking engineer because you work at a company. And that's what you do. You solve problems from little bitty ones to big honking huge ones. Yep. So maybe you've got a tip for us to consider.
Probably the best tool that I've used for solving problems from the smallest things that that you don't maybe necessarily have the correct tools for to the big ones that have lots of visibility is something that a lot of people, when they hear it, they're gonna might be familiar with it and might step back and say, oh my goodness, no. But that's the tool Wireshark. It's a free application, allows you to capture packets and analyze them with quite a bit of intelligence. There's tools there. And specific to broadcast engineers, take a look at your traffic. Maybe find out what protocols that you use quite frequently look like on IP protocols. Or so, for instance, look at the session handling and the call setup for SIP. Or maybe look at if you've got a large multicast network like one of these IP protocols. Try get an idea of what the traffic looks like in a trend. Some of the other folks that, you know, a lot of the folks on the various broadcasting social media groups will know, you know, I was troubleshooting a problem regarding the metadata going up from an automation system not being seen it got to the CDN.
It
was an authentication issue, but the software that they were using didn't have any facility to say what was going on. It just said not connected. I can't remember if that was either Rob Walker or Curtis Maycheck or one of those guys were having this issue. So I said, send me a capture. We took a look at it, and seconds later, okay, well, it's the encryption, the password, sorry. He went back, got the password from whoever his CDN was, tried it again. Instantly, that HTTP push.
You know, I think if I speak for other engineers, and I got to believe others are in my boat, Wireshark looks really complicated, and they try it and they say, I'm lost. Let me ask somebody else how to do this. And what I just found out, first of all, if you just get past that hurdle, if you kind of learn what the buttons do, there is a lot you can find out, but you got to play with it to figure it out.
Yep.
Now here's my tip, and I think it dovetails with yours. If you go to YouTube and just search on YouTube how to use Wireshark, there's a plethora of videos how to do it, and some by Michael Lively. There's one from the TV show Hack 5, podcast Hack 5. And so you may not find a video that you like right off the bat. Try a couple of them until you find one that, hey, this teacher, this person, it really speaks to me as to how to use it. I've learned a ton, and that's my tip. I've learned a ton by watching YouTube videos. And, you know, how to take my phone apart. I cracked my phone's glass. And I all the tools to get. Of course, this guy sold the tools, too. And and just totally got it fixed up by watching a YouTube video and following the directions. So let other people's expertise help you out and make you look smart. Or you're smart anyway. Doesn't matter. Chris Tobin, you got any last words for us before we sign off?
I just have to say one thing. The folks at Davicom, okay, they do remote controls, SNMP. They also did a presentation at PREC. Unbelievable folks. Get a little crazy at times because one of their guys is from Newfoundland, and he's known as a Newfie. And those of you in the audience and our folks, our friends in Canada, and I have several that I really appreciate you watching the show and tuning in and listening. It's a drink. It's a type of rum, I guess it's called. Screech. So the next time you're talking to your Davicom rep.
You know about this.
Yes, I do. Just because I've been to the CCPE in Barrie, Ontario, and that's where we've had good times after the presentations and the evening discussions. So just make sure you call Andrew Mulrooney and tell him, hey, we heard about Screech. What can you do for us with Davicom? If he can't help you, then give me an email, or we'll talk and we'll find a way to, you know, harass him. So just thought that I'd throw that in. It was fun because we were at the PREC show and we just had a good time.
Yeah. Chris's tip of the week is Screech.
Yes, no, yeah. No, so, learn SNMP along with the Wireshark.
It's about SNMP. Okay, gotcha.
It's about I'm sorry, I should have. Yeah, it's about SNMP. And I say this because I've been to about 24 booths and people overlooking that one feature that really, it's a protocol that it's very powerful and you should really learn to use it and understand it. And Wireshark would dovetail right into understanding how it functions and what goes on between the machines. Remember, SNMP is meant to be machine to machine, so you're not supposed to be able to interpret that part. That's what iReasoning MIB does, and Joe knows that. So it's like these are the things that
iReasoning.
Yes, iReasoning.
That's a great tip. That I look up that iReasoning. What was it called?
ID viewer.
Viewer managers.
I think it's MIB called a MIB viewer, right? Got that right? Oh gosh.
Hey, Chris, we're all going to head over to the ham radio reception where we'll get there just in time to have missed all the food and stand around, talk to our friends, and win some prizes.
I'll have to meet you over there because I got to strike my set and take care of one or two things.
Me too.
The Digigram folks are very, very accommodating. I have to say that.
Thanks to Digigram. Thanks to the Telos Alliance for bandwidth and their booth. Thanks to Broadcasters General Store, Jessica and Buck over there, and the folks at Shure who provided our headsets today. And also thanks to Ryan Fuss, who has been our talent wrangler today as well. Thanks to Angie Robertson. And thanks to Suncast, producing the show back at the GFQ Network. And thanks, of course, to Andrew Zarian, founder, president and head honcho at the GFQ Network. We appreciate it. I'm Kirk Harnack. You need to please like This Week on Radio Tech on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We announce the shows on those locations ourselves. Also, if you want to see a lot more videos about technology and not just about Telos Alliance products technology, we've been interviewing a lot of people about technology. Those are appearing on the Facebook page for the Telos Alliance. So it's a great thing to follow, not just for Telos Alliance stuff, but for all kinds of tips and tricks and keeping up with the latest information. So if you'll do that, we'll appreciate it. And the GFQ Network as well. Lots of great podcasts, a couple of them about technology, and a couple of them, anything from wrestling to comic books to comics. So that should do
food.
It for us. Chris, thanks. Yeah, and there's food?
There's a food critic, too. She's pretty good about it.
Oh, okay, good deal. I better watch
Skinny Pig. Skinny Pig.
Skinny Pig, that sounds great.
That's it, yeah.
Hey, I'm Kirk Harnack along with Chris Tobin and Suncast. We're going to say goodbye and see you later next week. We got a great guest next week, too. This guy is amazing on IP audio across difficult connections. Genius, PhD kind of guy. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye, everybody.